Welcome back to the Dr. Jake podcast. I'm Dr. Jake Schmutz. I'm an integrative doctor and naturopathic physician. And in this podcast, I share with you how to heal your body down to the root causes without harmful drugs or surgeries. I'm here today with my co-host, Teresa Marie, to review a case study on a patient of mine who had chronic Lyme and how we were able to help this patient put it into remission.
You're watching the Dr. Jake podcast.
Wow. I am really excited to hear about this. I've known a couple of people with chronic Lymes, both women, and their stories are heartbreaking. They are really heartbreaking, and it has totally affected their lives. And I look up to them in so many ways because of just what they've had to endure, and their wives and their moms, and yet they're struggling with this. And even times where people thought they were crazy because of what they were going through and just the random ways that it was affecting their body and them going, is there a connection? And some traditional doctors even saying things like, we don't see a connection. And I'm not sure what it's like in the state of Utah where you're at, Dr. Jake, but in California, where I am from, you can't really, as an integrative or naturopathic physician, really put it online, blast it out there that you help people with chronic Lymes. Like, it's almost like a big taboo no-no, and you almost have to have like hidden pathways to even discussing. It's such a controversial topic, which I don't understand at all. So maybe you can shed some of that light as you walk us through this case. And maybe if there's any differences in Utah from other states or if this is a common issue, I would love to know more about that. All right, let's get started with your patient. Can we first just start off with, how did this particular patient catch Lyme, and why did it become chronic and not resolved right away? Because I think the consensus is you get bit by a tick, you go and get some antibiotics, and you should be done. This idea of chronic Lyme's disease is not true, right? Just take some antibiotics and you're done. How did she catch it? Why did it become chronic and not resolved right away?
The patient I'm going to talk about today, and I'll just call her Kim for reference here, just to keep her identity secret. But so Kim came into me, and she didn't know exactly where she got bit or how she got bit. She does go out in the wilderness quite often and goes hiking. She has traveled to places that do have a lot of ticks, but she never did actually experience, oh, I had this tick, I removed it, I had the bullseye rash. She didn't really experience any of that at all. So she doesn't know where she actually got it. This disease typically does come from a deer tick, but there's also research out there that it can come from other insects, or it could actually possibly be sexually transmitted. So there's a lot of obscurity there. But if you go just based on the basic guidelines, you get Lyme's disease from a deer tick, and she doesn't know exactly where she got it. All we do is know that her laboratory tests were positive for Lyme's disease, and she likely had it a long time ago. It wasn't an acute Lyme's disease.
Now, the laboratory tests that you give to confirm a Lyme's disease case, is it one type of test, like one marker that you look for, or is there a combination of things that you test for you to get a full picture of whether or not they have Lyme's? What are those labs?
So the labs I do for Lyme's disease can be very detailed, and they are different than the basic lab that your maybe primary care doctor did to say, okay, let's check to see if you do have Lyme's disease. We do look for Borrelia burgdorferi. We check a Western blot. But here's the thing. If you just do a basic LabCorp Borrelia burgdorferi test, many times you're going to miss it because they're not checking enough of the bands. So they changed this back in the 90s or so. I don't know exactly why. There's a lot of theories behind that. Why they changed this. In the basic labs, they don't check enough bands. And many times you can have a false negative come back, meaning that, oh, you do have Lyme disease, but the laboratory says you don't have it. So I usually don't order these basic tests, except it is a lot cheaper for my patients. So I do order it. And if it does come back positive for Borrelia burgdorferi, I know they do have it. But if it's negative, I'm like, I don't know if you do or not. And if I feel like it's absolutely needed, I do a specialized test that actually does check all those bands. And then I also like to check co-infections that go along with that, like Bartonella, Babesia, etc., because it might not be just Borrelia going on. It's all these other infections. And that just opens up a can of worms too. Is it typically a patient that has Lyme disease? It's not just one bug. It's not just Borrelia burgdorferi. I've never seen that. It's usually they have several different viruses and other bacteria like Epstein-Barr virus, cytomegalovirus, or mycoplasma pneumonia. And we have to treat all these infections to effectively treat the patient, not just focusing on the one bacteria burgdorferi.
Now, is it because some of these other co-infections are also transmitted by ticks and that they got numerous infections from the ticks? Or did the infection from the tick put them at a more susceptible ability to catch other infections?
So do patients get these infections directly from the tick, or do they get it from other areas? So they do, yes or no to that question. So like Bartonella and Babesia, yeah, that can be coming from the tick. But the Epstein-Barr virus, the megalovirus, mycoplasma pneumoniae, or other infections, not coming from the tick. What's happening is, let's say you get exposed to Borrelia, which is Lyme's disease. It suppresses your immune system, so you're going to be much more prone to get whatever bug that's hanging out in there, and it's going to become chronic. So, and also what can happen when you get Lyme's disease, you could reactivate these viruses like Epstein-Barr virus, megalovirus, and then they're causing all kinds of problems in the body. So really the big thing with you having all kinds of these infections inside your body now that are causing an issue is really the suppressive nature of the immune system that Borrelia burgdorferi does on the immune system. Or you could have chronic Epstein-Barr virus, for example, suppressing your immune system, and then you get bit by a tick with Borrelia, and then it becomes chronic more readily because the immune system suppressed because of that other infection. So it's hard to know which one was the very first bug that you got, but someone with Lyme's disease always has all kinds of other infections.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so let's talk about this particular patient's symptoms. When she came to you, not knowing she knew she had Lyme, she didn't know she had Lyme. What happened? She shows up. Tell us the story.
So Kim came into my office. She had been to so many different doctors trying to find out what was going with her. So the symptoms she was experiencing was extreme fatigue, non-functional, really not able to do much, and a lot of brain fog. She couldn't really think very well, concentrate very well. And also she was experiencing a lot of pain. She was having this peripheral neuropathy type of symptoms, was numbness, tingling, and pain in her hands and feet. She went to several doctors, specialists to try to find out how to treat it and what was really causing it. She didn't get any answers. And some of them just said, oh, it's in your head. You need to go to a psychiatrist and they could help you out there. Before she came into me, she actually did go to a good doctor that was able to make a good diagnosis. She was able to get the diagnosis of Lyme disease, did the specialized testing for Lyme disease, and got that diagnosis. So she did have an answer. She did treatment with this doctor, and she didn't really go in detail exactly what she did, but she did a lot of different treatments with her for about 6 months to a year, and she wasn't getting any better. So she was looking for someone that was actually able to treat it effectively, and she thought that I would be a good option for her.
So when you listened to her and she was sharing what her experience was, that she's had these symptoms, this neuropathy, this fatigue and brain fog, and that she had tested positive for Lyme's disease at some point, what did you decide to do from there to start figuring out the root cause of her issue and how to resolve it?
What did I do to actually find out what we could do to treat her and what was the root cause? So I asked a lot of thorough questions to dive into it. I didn't just say, okay, you have Lyme disease, let's kill that bacteria. I never have good success just doing that. I know maybe a lot of you listening here have heard about people taking antibiotics for years to treat chronic Lyme disease. And that's only, yeah, that will kill the bug. But then what about all those other issues going on in the body that's making the body not work well? So if you just kill the infection, you have all these other lingering symptoms that are just going to hang out because Lyme disease will damage multiple organ systems, will damage the thyroid, the adrenal glands, the liver function, gut function, chronic brain inflammation, imbalances of the neurotransmitters leading to that brain fog or memory issues, headaches, etc. So I asked a lot of questions to find out what bodily systems were having issues. And also I was like, okay, we need to find out what else could be related to the symptoms you're experiencing. So we did a detailed thyroid panel. We looked to see if there's any imbalances of her hormones. What led me to look at imbalances of her hormones is she was having a lot of hot flashes. She was missing some periods. She was having heavy bleeding, etc. And if our hormones aren't working great, our immune system's not going to work great, and we're not going to get all the way there. So we need to make sure the hormones are all in balance. We also took a look at her adrenal glands to see if there was any adrenal fatigue going on with her. We took a look to see if there was foods that she was reacting to because she was experiencing some digestive symptoms, constipation, diarrhea, gas, and bloating. Even though that doesn't mean that food sensitivities aren't involved, but it did send me that way to be, okay, food sensitivities might be a piece of what's going on, to get a whole picture of how to treat her appropriately. So we asked thorough questions, did thorough labs. We got the labs back in about 2 or 3 weeks, and then we talked about them. So in her situation, we found out that she did have all kinds of other infections hanging out in her body. She had chronic Epstein-Barr virus, cytomegalovirus, Mycoplasma pneumoniae, and then she had Borrelia burgdorferi, which is the Lyme disease. So we had bacterias, two different bacterias, and then two different viruses that we had to go after. So let's say that all we did is focus on the Lyme disease and we didn't go after the viruses, because Lyme disease is bacteria and Epstein-Barr virus is viral, for example. You're not going to be treating that chronic viral infection, and you could not get any symptom improvement because the other infections still hang out there. So that's what we found out with her. So we had to treat both the bacterias and the virus that were going on with her. We found that she had multiple food sensitivities, and we also saw that she had some hormonal imbalance. Her estrogen, progesterone, DHEA, and testosterone all low, and we needed to treat that. Her thyroid looked good. Her adrenal glands looked not too bad, looked like they needed a little bit of support. So we gave a little bit of support to her adrenal glands.
So what was the timeline from the time that she came in through the time that you took the assessments that you needed to figure out some of the other comorbidities and so forth that she was struggling with, to putting her on a protocol, having her execute it, coming in to check, retaking the labs to see how things were going and how her symptoms were improving? Can you walk us through that timeline?
So how long did it take her from day one coming into my office and feeling 80 to 100% better? She actually was someone that responded quite quickly. I don't have all my Lyme disease patients respond this quickly, but she had 100% improvement within 2 months, which is pretty rare with someone dealing with chronic Lyme disease. My expectation is she hadn't been dealing with it that long for her to respond that quickly. It typically takes for most of my patients probably 4 to 9 months to get total resolution of their symptoms when we're treating them. But yeah, so from treatment until 2 month period of time from day one till she got better.
Incredible. Now, what's her state now? And is there anything that you have her do in order to maintain her health and keep the diseases, and I say that plural because of all the things that you had brought up, into remission, just keeping her in a stable, healthy place?
How is she doing now? And is she doing anything to keep her disease in remission? So I saw this patient 4 years ago, and I wanted to have follow-ups, but I haven't had follow-ups with her for this 4 year period of time. We did talk about doing all the treatments to benefit her, and big things we wanted her to continue. We wanted to keep her immune system strong. So we still wanted her to stay on mushrooms. I like a lot for this is reishi mushrooms or turkey tail mushrooms or many other mushrooms to help boost the immune system, keep the immune system strong so you keep it at bay. Big thing I also talked to her about is keeping her anxiety under control, because what I see, a lot of stress and anxiety will reactivate these infections. I see it all the time. So if you start getting stressed, anxious, not sleeping well, then if you're stressed or anxious, you start eating poorly, eating high sugar. That's when I see these chronic infections come back. So we laid this out in detail for her. I said I didn't have any follow-ups. I did have follow-ups after 4 months, but I haven't seen her since that time. I just told her, hey, if you need any help in the future, reach out. And we haven't heard anything. So my expectation is she is doing great and she's not having any issues at this time, because she is actually doing the things to keep herself in remission. She's keeping her anxiety under control. She's making sure she's sleeping. She's keeping her diet good. And she's taking supplements to keep her immune system strong.
Okay, so you got the diagnosis. You figured out what her comorbidities were and what all the other stuff that were happening that was contributing to this perfect storm of symptoms that she was struggling with. What exactly then did you prescribe her as far as a protocol to help her resolve all of this?
What did I do when I actually got the diagnosis? I got the labs back. I reviewed all her symptom pictures and I found out what was all the things going on. So what did I do? So I wanted to start this here is treating chronic Lyme disease. It's not about just treating the infection, not just treating the bacteria. And it's not only about treating the co-infections or other infections going on. Now that is a big piece. We need to get these back into remission. But also what a lot of doctors forget is we need to treat, like what I like to call, is the terrain. We need to make sure the body is healed. There's a lot of damage that happens with chronic Lyme disease, with the other infections that damage the endocrine organs, make the thyroid not work well, their adrenal glands. There's damage to the gut that leads to food sensitivities or imbalances of gut microbes in there. There's this inflammatory response that happens in the brain. There's damage to the nervous system in the brain and also the peripheral nervous system. So we need to treat all these imbalances that are going on in the body for the body to totally heal and get back to normal or almost normal state from getting chronic Lyme disease. So what did I do? So I started with, okay, we need a phase one of the protocol. This is what I call the healing part of the protocol. I start with the healing part of the protocol before I start killing things. I need to get the body healed, strong, robust, get the immune system strong, and then we can start killing the chronic Lyme disease and other co-infections. So I wanted to balance her hormones again. So I started with bioidentical hormones for her. I gave her estrogen, progesterone, DHA, and testosterone. I also saw that there was a little something going on with her adrenal glands. So I gave her some support there. I gave her a supplement that's called Adrenotone. It has ashwagandha and ginseng and other adrenal supporting herbs in there. And then I wanted to give her a methyl complex. This is to support the adrenal gland function, but also a lot of people with chronic Lyme disease have methylation issues, methyl donor issues. So we want to give her a methylated folate, a methyl 12, and other B vitamins to help support those pathways appropriately. Then what happens is we want to heal the mitochondria. So viruses like Epstein-Barr virus, the cytomegalovirus, B6, or whatever, all these viruses can cause damage to the mitochondria and how they function. That's going to lead to all the fatigue and the brain fog and the pain, etc. Can be related to that. So we gave glutathione, boric acid, and acetyl L-carnitine to help support her mitochondrial function. Then we wanted to start healing up her gut. So we changed up her diet based on the food sensitivity panel that I did. That was a leukocyte histamine response test, also known as the ALCAT test, to find out what foods we need to take away and what was causing the inflammatory response in her body. We took these foods away that she was having an issue with. We started healing up the gut. We did that with glutamine, zinc, carnosine, N-acetylglucosamine, a good quality probiotic that had 30 billion or higher, that had a good amount of lactobacillus and ferri in there. And then we wanted to decrease the histamine response happening in the body, inflammatory response, so we gave her AllerDHQ. So she had a lot of inflammation going on in her brain, so we wanted to decrease the inflammation in her brain too. So the progesterone is a great neurosteroid, so it decreased the inflammation in the brain. So that was great. We gave her the bioidentical, but also wanted to give her some extra support. So I gave her a good quality liposomal form of turmeric that's able to bypass the blood-brain barrier and get into the brain and decrease that inflammatory response. We also gave her some Boswellia to start doing that. So that was the beginning of the protocol. We also did some procedures. I did nutrient therapy with amino acids and glutathione and carnitine and taurine all in there to get those mitochondria healed up, heal the adrenal glands, heal the gut from the inside out, balance out the neurotransmitters. We also did hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So when you get this chronic inflammatory response from chronic Lyme disease, it affects the blood vessels and that decreases oxygen getting into your tissues. So hyperbaric oxygen is able to get that oxygen right into the tissues much more readily than just regular breathing or just doing an oxygen mask. So we're able to get that mitochondria turned up and able to regenerate and heal again. So that was the beginning point. We did that for 2 or 3 weeks. Then after that, we were like, okay, we're ready to actually start killing the bugs. So we all gave her artemisinin, which is an extract from wormwood. I also gave her a supplement called biocidin and then berberine to help kill the chronic Lyme disease. And then I gave her V procedures, high dose vitamin C with artemisinin. And I also gave ozone with intravenous photodynamic therapy. So ultraviolet light and blue light are very antimicrobial and kills off all bugs, including viruses, bacteria, fungus, etc. And then ozone is a great, really effective on killing off all infections also. And then for the viral component, I gave her monolaurin, high doses of vitamin C orally, zinc, high doses of vitamin A to help take care of the virus. So she did this over a 2-month period of time. I followed up with her and her symptoms were resolved at that point.
Incredible. Now, a couple of questions about some of the things that you did. Why did you do all of the glutathione and the adrenal stuff and the hormones before you gave her the berberine and so forth to address Lyme's disease?
So why do I have 2 different phases to the protocol? I have the healing part and then I have the killing part. The reason I do that is if I've learned with experience and also talking to a lot of other doctors that do this, if you start too quick on killing, people feel horrible and feel really sick for a while because there's a lot of die-off going on and they're also the bodies aren't detailed detoxing very well, and they're not binding up these infections when we kill them very well. So we want to make sure the body is ready and strong when we do start killing off the infections, and it decreases the side effects of killing off these chronic bugs when I do it that way. And they're able to have much better results.
It makes sense. I think of this as like a war. It's like, okay, you know who the enemy is, but the answer is not just immediately go out there and start bashing the enemy. Like, you've got to strengthen your army first. You've got to take a look at the forest, or you said the word terrain. I mean, it's funny, like symbolically, like look at the land. Where are we going to hide? Where are we going to camp? How are we going to do this so that they're prepared? The army's prepared. The terrain is prepared. Everything is prepared so that when battle happens, the enemy's going to go down. You know that they're going to lose. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Now, my other question is on the monolaurin. Yeah. I've heard about this before. From what I understand, it breaks down the kind of the shell or the casing of a virus so that the body can eat it up or something like that. Can you explain what monolaurin is and how that works?
So what is monolaurin and how does it work? So monolaurin does break up the shell. So it's not directly antiviral, but what it does is it breaks up the shell of that virus so your body's able to kill it up more readily. Also, what's cool about monolaurin, and we didn't talk about this, and I did do this for her, is we need to do biofilm treatments. Biofilm busters, I call them, is break off the biofilm. And monolaurin is really good on breaking off that biofilm so your immune system's able to get in there and killing it off. So a biofilm is this mucus cluster on the outside of infections that prevents substances to kill it, and also your immune system go in there and kill it. So that's why a lot of times, if you don't kill the biofilm and you're taking all these antimicrobial substances, you're not getting better, it's probably because the infection has a biofilm. And chronic Lyme disease always has a biofilm. I've never seen it not. That's the reason why it is chronic, is it has that biofilm and your immune system's not able to take care of it. So that's one great thing that monolaurin does too, is helps break off that biofilm on the outside.
Now, is this biofilm in the gut of the person who's infected, or is it somewhere else?
It's in the gut and also in the bloodstream. Yeah.
Incredible. All right. Let's jump into the issue that I brought up when we first started talking today. And that is, why is this not something that every doctor knows about and is implementing? Why is it so hard to find a doctor like yourself who can really truly help patients with chronic Lyme?
Why is it so difficult to make the diagnosis of Lyme disease? And why are there so many doctors that are hesitant to even say that chronic Lyme disease exists? And that is a really good question to me. I don't know why so many doctors are hesitant to it. If you actually go to the Northeast Coast, where Lyme disease is the most prevalent, most doctors know about chronic Lyme disease and they know it's an issue, which is interesting. Then you go to the West Coast, they don't even recognize it as a disease. So it's a weird dynamic there. But, and there's all kinds of doctors in the Northeast Coast, conventional or alternative, that are treating chronic Lyme disease because it's a major epidemic out there and they know it's a big issue and they're going after it. Now, most doctors, they're not really learning about chronic Lyme disease. They don't learn about it in med school. All you do is learn about the acute Lyme disease, which is, okay, you get bitten by a tick, you get the bullseye rash, you get fevers, chills, you could get joint pains, you could get headaches, and then it's not going to last forever. You just take an antibiotic and you're going to be good. So there's no issue. That's what you learn in med school. So most doctors graduate, they don't focus in infectious diseases or really treating chronic diseases in general, and they don't really think of it as an issue at all. And they don't really want to dive into it. And they're like, really? Just a bug biting you is going to give you all these diseases that you're experiencing? You have depression, anxiety, chronic joint pain, headaches, diarrhea, constipation, or whatever, chronic pain throughout your body, all kinds of symptoms that can happen with Lyme disease. They're like, no way that's related to just a bug. And they like, I don't know why they just want to be ignorant, but it is how they are with a lot of different things, is they're like, okay, I haven't learned this in med school, or I haven't learned this from some of the training that I've received. So I just think it's not true. And they don't really go in and dive into the research there. And that's why I think it's a big issue in the majority of the country, is they're just not being exposed to it and not looking into it enough.
Incredible. Well, I'm so glad that there's doctors like yourself who do recognize it as a true health condition that, you know, people are having problems with, and that you know the labs and what to look for to be able to really help people. Now, if there's anybody listening today who is struggling with Lyme's or knows someone who is struggling with Lyme's and they want to be able to get a hold of you, how can they do so?
So yeah, if you want to learn about Lyme disease, you want to treat the Lyme disease effectively, visit my website, integrativemedica.com. Find my number there. Give it a call. Talk to my receptionist to set up an appointment with me or some of my other great doctors. You can also, straight from the website, set up an appointment with us also.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you again so much, Dr. Jake. And thank you everyone for listening. If you liked this show today, please let us know by leaving us a positive review. You can also click the show notes to get some of the details on some of the protocols that Dr. Jake referenced today as well.
Hey, Dr. Jake, thank you for your time today. And if you enjoyed the show, then do us a favor and leave a review. It helps more people to find the show, which could save their life. And remember, this is a podcast and should not replace personalized attention from a medical professional like Dr. Jake. If you or someone you know has been diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder, cancer of any stage, or a life-changing illness, visit our website today and schedule a virtual appointment with one of our doctors who can lead you to a treatment plan in your area. That's integrativemedica.com. integrativemedica.com.
Thank you for listening to the Integrative Medica podcast with Dr. Jake. To hear past episodes and get alerts for the future, subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform and be sure to follow us on YouTube as well. Just search for Integrative Medica with Dr. Jake.